To-do lists are great, aren't they? Keep us focused on what we have to get done today. The problem with the to-do list is that it very easily becomes the goal, completing the to-do list. Crossing things off the to-do list is very satisfying, I find. I even add things to the list that I've already done just so that I can cross them off the list. But productivity experts say, they usually suggest that we do the most important things first. If we accomplish a great many tasks, but don't do what is really important, we will be deceived into thinking that we have had a successful day. And I think that there are days when I do this. St. Paul gives us an amazing list of the qualities of a Christian. Every one of them is deserving of our attention. A to-do list of things to become in Christ. These are the things that we should do if we believe in Christ. Right away, I want to include them with all of the other things that I have to do. But what's the good of completing all of those other tasks if I do not become what Jesus himself calls me to do and to be? Very well, that makes sense, doesn't it? Focus on what is good and holy. But even there, very quickly, I'm overwhelmed by the many ways that I must still become a better Christian. Near the end of this letter of St. Paul to the Roman church, St. Paul provides a summary of what the Christian life is all about. Things like, let your love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good, outdo one another in showing honor, be fervent in faith, and if you're lukewarm, ask for zeal in your prayer. But our most important task today, we might summarize with, and others have said this, our most important task today is to become a saint. Paul's list is that of the qualities of a saint. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't see myself becoming all of those things at once. I have to do them one at a time. Apparently, St. Teresa of Avila focused on one of the mysteries of the rosaries every day, and she became, of course, one of the great models of growing from a, by her own admission, a self-centered and proud young person to one of the greatest models of the Christian life. I think it's worthwhile paying attention to the psalmist today before going to the list which Paul gives us. The psalmist says, I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. I think what a great attitude to start with. So this is exactly the attitude that we should bring to the list of qualities of the Christian that Paul lists. Sure, we should do every one of them. However, to think that we can improve ourselves in all those areas at once, I think, well, for me, that would be a thing of pride. And in the process, I would exhaust myself with the trying. How many in our time have become overwhelmed with many tasks? How many of us have let the Martha in us run wild with no restrictions? In the process, how many of us have lost or thrown away our invitation to the great banquet in the kingdom of heaven, which Jesus talks about in the gospel today? And so in that gospel, the Lord offers us an image of eternity represented by a banquet. The banquet denotes the place where the family and friends gather together to celebrate and enjoy each other's company. The conversation and the friends sitting around the same table. This image speaks of our intimacy with God as Trinity and the joy we will find in that promised land. He has made everything for us, and he calls us in, for everything is now ready, it says. He wants us with him. He wants all people, men and women, by his side, each one of us. And so Jesus invites us to the great heavenly banquet. He doesn't say this is a parable, which is interesting, right? Usually he tells a story, he tells a parable. How shall I compare the kingdom of heaven? But he tells it as if it's a real story. It is quite legitimate, I think, for us to think of everyone who is invited to be part of the kingdom. God intends to fill that kingdom. Jesus says elsewhere that there are many rooms in my Father's house. There are many rooms in that kingdom. And because God is not wasteful, every one of those rooms and every seat at the table will be filled. We can understand this not as a large, finite dining room, a hall where there's only so many spaces. What it means is that God already knows who will respond to the invitation? And the kingdom banquet will be filled with every one of those. I think, you know, if we think about the liturgical year, we will be coming shortly to the end of the liturgical year, the Feast of Christ the King. His subjects will be those who have responded to his invitation. It will not be those who think of themselves as deserving. It will be all of us who are able to recognize our brokenness, our poverty, and our needs. That's the image of Jesus sending his servant out into the lanes and the byways to find those who are poor and who are lame and blind. That kingdom and that banquet will be for all of us who turn to God in gratitude for the invitation. And do not imagine that there is something worldly, some to-do list, no matter how valuable it seems to us, even good things, which can replace this invitation to the glorious heavenly banquet. Not our land, not our possessions, represented by the oxen, and not even our relationships, represented by the one who has just gotten married. Now, this does not mean, of course, that these are evil things. Of course not. But these things must not blind ourselves to the greater good. In fact, these good things should point us towards the one who gives them to us so that we might be ready for the invitation to go and give honor to the one who gives them all to us. I think we can probably think of a list of many in our culture today who are making excuses not to attend the banquet of the Lord. How truly Jesus has spoken to our time. So many distractions from what is important have blinded us to what is being offered to you and I right now in this moment, in this day. And so today, let us make our to-do list, with the first item being to respond to the invitation of the King.